Welcome, one and all, console war veterans and civilian noobs, to the 23rd episode of the Green vs. Blue podcast. This week's topic, faster than Harrison Ford, Star Wars emerges from EA's Carbonite prison. We are your hosts,
SD-Dog,
and PlayStation Pat Fennel. Green vs. Blue is a podcast where we, your hosts, discuss the two best gaming platforms, Xbox and PlayStation. Green vs. Blue can be found on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast service. You can also support us directly at patreon.com/greenversusblue. That's patreon.com/greenvsblue. Huge shout out to our existing Patreon supporters over there right now. And anyone that is not a Patreon supporter yet, you can head over there and find some exclusive content. We got huge plans this year, so head over there, find out more about it. And yeah, if you have any burning questions or comments about today's show, reach us directly at psboxcast@gmail.com. That's psboxcast@gmail.com. Dave, where can we find you on the interwebs?
Come on over and follow me on YouTube or follow me on my gamertag on Xbox at SDDawg. That's S-D-D-A-W-G. Where can we find you?
Dave, you can find me on YouTube and Twitch at VarietyPat. That's VariotyPat. Once again, VariotyPat. Or on Instagram at PlayStationPat.
Cool. All right, Pat, let's move into today's show. First off, we'd like to do a segment called Retroscope, where we make corrections or news follow-ups or what have you, just to make our show more accurate, more compelling. So this week, I just want to mention, you know, last episode, we did our very first giveaway ever. Well, what?
Ooh.
So we gave out some Halo Infinite DLC for any of you Xbox players out there who are wanting to, you know, show off some good, cool cosmetics on day one. So just out of the generosity of my heart, giving out those for the next few weeks. And I actually want to talk about that if you guys are interested. And we'll be giving out some emblems, armor coatings, and eventually we'll be giving out a copy of the Master Chief Collection, digital copy, full free. So today we'll be giving away a Wicked Cool Toys emblem. And then next week, you don't want to miss that, we'll be giving away an armor coating. So those will probably be a little bit more pricey in the game. You probably don't want to miss out on that. And then the week after that, on February 1st, will be another emblem giveaway. The 8th, same thing. Then on the 15th of February, we'll be giving away another armor coating. And then on the 22nd, we'll round it out with another emblem. And that will be the finale. We'll be also announcing the winner of the raffle for the digital download of the Master Chief Collection. And you're probably wondering, hey, how do I get this Master Chief Collection? Well, thanks for asking. So go to our...
Dave.
What's up?
Hold on. How would a guy like me get the Master Chief Collection
well,
for free?
Well, a guy like you, Pat, who only plays on PlayStation, you probably have to buy an Xbox first. But for anyone else who has
or my hot gaming PC
or if you have a cool gaming PC with Windows 10. So Pat, you know, if you want to win this raffle, I would recommend you go check out our Gmail. So what we just said it right now in the intro, psboxcast@gmail.com. So in your header, type in MCC giveaway. That will just get you entered right there. And then in the body of the email, just put your name and something you like about the show, or just whatever about the show, I don't care. And then on that day, we will randomly select an applicant, and we will reward a winner. So check that out. And that's all we got. That's all I got for Retroscope this week, Pat.
Dave, I think these armor coatings and emblems are going to end up being pretty hot and pretty coveted once Halo Infinite comes around.
I definitely know the armor coatings will be, because I have a feeling those will be definitely, not pricey, but you know what I mean. They won't be just something you can get willy-nilly.
No.
So definitely check out the weeks we're doing armor coatings. For sure, you don't want to miss those episodes.
And look forward to Halo Infinite.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Well, hey, let's move into games this week. Dave, let's start out. What have you been playing this past week?
Well, Pat, been playing a little bit more Halo 5. Actually, I didn't get around to play too many video games this week. Have just been busy with other endeavors, so just been doing that. And then, that's pretty much it. Maybe like a tad bit of Rocket League. Like I was saying, I was switching it up last week, kind of continue that trend this week. Enjoying those two games right now.
Cool. Yeah, same for me. Pretty light week overall. I did break out an oldie but goodie, Dave. It's my first time playing the game Bully. I know you've talked about it. I've heard you talk about it more than once.
I do, yeah. I have fond memories of that game, even though I have the remastered edition and I still haven't played it since I bought it. But how are you liking it?
It's no remake. Let's say that. But it's fun. I'm having fun with it. It's not exactly what I expected. I didn't know I would be playing as a young boy in a school for juvenile delinquents. But yeah, it's cool how they made a GTA in the schoolyard, and it somehow works.
Yeah, that game is weird. It's like obscure of a title as it is. It has like a diehard following where people just, I don't know, that's kind of like that cult status where people are clamoring for another one. So I think there was like a lot of speculation somewhat recently that like people were wondering, you know, is there going to be another Bully game in the works since there's like a lull between Red Dead 2 and like GTA, the inevitable GTA 6. Mm-hmm. So, there was like a Rockstar employee who used to come into my work, and I legitimately asked him, I was like, man, can you just like blink twice if you know that there's a Bully 2 in development? And he's like, honestly, I don't know. Like they just keep it under wraps. Cause like, you know, they have their headquarters out, you know, I forget, on the East Coast or something. Okay. Like, yeah. They don't tell us anything. I would love to see a sequel of that game though.
Yeah. I almost think you could make it we've almost come around to the point that it would be acceptable again. I don't think we would be saying that 4 or 5 years ago, but you could definitely set it in a Catholic school, and I think that would maybe fly. You know, they have good writers over there at Rockstar.
Yeah, I mean, if you can, you know, run over people in the street and bang hookers, I don't see a problem with you know, a little bit of a school setting, you know, rebellious, you know, story.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Dave, what new games are over there on Xbox this week?
So we don't have really anything. I forgot to say what was leaving Game Pass, so I forgot to mention last week, my friend Pedro on console and PC, Sword Art Online, Fatal Bullet from the console, and then Tekken 7, also on Xbox consoles, have left. So sorry to bum everyone out, but yeah, those are just gone. Good to know, though, if you're looking for them, so you're not wasting your time scrubbing through the library.
Oof. Bummer to see Tekken 7 go. I think Tekken might be my favorite fighter, 2D fighter game. Anyways, did you also see this week that we got a Little Nightmares 2 demo on Xbox, PS4, and Switch?
See, I was going to ask you about that. You put that in the script. I did not see that, but I have been anticipating this game, and I know it's coming out like relatively soon, like super soon, right?
Yeah, I believe in the next 2 or 3 months.
I looked it up online recently, and it looks like from what I was looking at, it looked like the game was marketed as like a co-op, but I think it's still just single player. Like there are two protagonists in the game.
They might be doing a thing like Unravel where you just have the option to do co-op.
I hope there's a co-op mode. I really hope so. because the trailer it showed like two, like the Six, I think that's her name, the whatever, whoever the main character was, and then like this other boy. I don't know. I know for a fact there are two people on the cover of the game, but for some reason I read some, like I swear I read somewhere that there's like not a co-op mode, but I don't know. Hopefully there is. If there's not, I'll be really bummed out.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was. We'll see. I guess Little Nightmares 2, I guess, was originally supposed to be out on December 9th. So for people that are really, really itching to play it, you can go check out the demo.
Yeah, I'll play it. I'll be playing it no matter what. That's for certain. I just was really in my mind. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to like play this with Alicia or like play this with Matt, you know, and like go through the story together.
As influential as Mario is just inherently, I think the new Super Mario Bros. Wii game had a really good influence on platformers in general, that it influenced developers to insert a co-op mode as just a cool way to play with your friends, that you can still complete the levels either single player. It just may be slightly easier to play co-op, or you can mess with your friends, which wouldn't be surprising as a mechanic for a horror game like Little Nightmares 2. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see soon enough.
Anyways, so new PlayStation games this week. I just wanted to give a preface to our listeners that any new game release that I list as a PS4 game is compatible with the PS5. Sony had mandated to developers that any PS4 game released after July 13th of 2020 had to be, or has to be, compatible with the PS5. So unless I state it's exclusively a PS5 game, any new PlayStation game is compatible on both PS4 and PS5. So anyways, new games this week. Just a heads up, January 14th through the 21st, Activision is blessing us common folk with a free week of Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War, Zombies. So I think I'm going to be jumping in. I haven't checked out Black Ops, Cold War, Zombies yet. So excited to do that. And it's free, so why not? Minus the giant download that there's probably going to be. Actual new games this week. Scott Pilgrim versus the World is out. And this is the first time we've seen this game since it was unlisted from the Xbox Arcade and PS3 digital store.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So probably a good game worth checking out. Moving on, we got another one called Mana Spark. And that is a roguelike dungeon crawler, similar to Binding of Isaac. But Dave, I'm starting to get a little sick of these. Just the roguelikes are, market is getting a little oversaturated, if you ask me, at this point.
Yeah.
Last but not least, my PlayStation pick of the week, a small indie title, Windfolk, this one's called. Super, really difficult to find footage of this game, Windfolk, but it actually looks really promising as an indie title. It's a third-person shooter. You're flying around with a jetpack. It gave me, for maybe some of our older listeners, it was a little reminiscent of the game Rez. There was a remake, Rez Infinite, that came to PSVR. But, you know, like a cartoony version of Rez, but same sort of gameplay. And I think Windfolk would have gotten a lot of shine on the convention floors in 2020. And I think it could have really blown up and been a popular game. But given the how difficult it was to find footage, like I had to really seek out to find footage of Windfolk. I think this game's going to be buried. So, just wanted to give it a shine. PlayStation pick of the week, Windfolk. Last but not least, in new games this week, just a reminder, get your PlayStation Plus downloads in before the end of the month. That's going to close out this segment. Let's move it on, Dave. What do you say?
Yeah, that's been games this week, guys. So check those out. Anyways, yeah, Pat, let's move into cross-examination. Y'all been waiting for it. You know, we got some big, meaty news this week. Heavy, heavy news. So buckle up, get prepared. So for any of our new listeners out there, cross-examination is a segment where we take big, relevant news about Xbox and PlayStation when they happen to intersect with each other in the gaming world. We then debate, speculate, and create a discussion of our own, which fosters good discourse. So, Pat, want to lead into this here?
Yes, sir. Because, Dave, we have, Dave, listeners out there, we have some great news this week for gaming nerds and space nerds alike. After 7 long years, EA will no longer hold the exclusive rights to make Star Wars games. And on top of that, we are already getting word about some other companies getting to shake off the rust, flex their muscles a little bit, and try their hands at making Star Wars games.
Thank God.
It's a new era, Dave.
This is a good day. This is a good day.
I forgot what non-EA Star Wars games are like.
It's been so long.
So, let's take it back a little bit. Let's give some context to where we are today. So, EA has had the exclusive licensing rights to Star Wars video games since striking a deal with Disney in May of 2013. Terms of the deal were not revealed at that time. So, some hindsight. All the way back then, Dave, where were you in May of 2013? Where was I?
Oh, man. I don't even know. I was probably working at a grocery store.
Oh, yeah, you... That was like, I call that senior year plus that year. My one and only full year at San Diego State, right down the road, and everybody was still in town.
Simpler times.
Simple times. Kendrick Lamar was new to us. What else? Yeah. We were still probably playing Modern Warfare 2, maybe.
Yeah, I was super heavy into Call of Duty. I was pretty good at Call of Duty, too. But, yeah, I was just a youngin, you know. Didn't know too much about video games. Well, I did. I always played video games, but wasn't a very, very big connoisseur of games.
Sure.
And I guess we can kind of blame EA for that.
Right? So.
A little bit.
Yeah, let's keep going. Disney acquired Lucasfilm and its subsidiary LucasArts for $4.05 billion in October 2012 and closed LucasArts in April 2013. So LucasArts, a much, much beloved studio, been around since the 80s. They gave us some exceptional games, like the original Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2. They gave us the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic games.
Gave us, yeah, pretty much the best era of
Republic
Star Wars games.
Republic Commando. Certainly.
The reason why we hate EA is because we love that era of Star Wars games. Yeah. Because we know what was possible for EA. But we'll get into that.
So,
right now.
In May of 2013, EA gets exclusive rights. We have no idea how much they paid, no idea how much percentage they were giving over to Disney. We had no idea how long they had exclusive rights. For all we know, it could have been 50 years of EA Star Wars games. We didn't know the terms.
What is this, a dictatorship? Is this like a dynasty?
If EA had it their way. So since attaining exclusive licensing rights. Star Wars games, Star Wars console and PC games could only be developed by EA's in-house studios, which at the time were Visceral Games, DICE, Respawn, BioWare, and later on Motive Games. Disney retained the mobile rights. Disney has retained the rights to make mobile games in the meantime since 2013, and has made 10 mobile games since 2013. EA, on the other hand, who owns, guess how many studios, Dave? Off the top of your head, how many studios would you think EA owned?
20.
Well, it's written down in your face.
Well, look, it's written down.
But EA owns 20 studios. And how many games did they get out in 7 years? Let's count.
3.5.
Battlefront 1-2. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. And Star Wars Squadrons. That makes 4.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that. Battlefront 1 and 2, do you want to say anything about it, Dave? We've talked about them before.
I've criticized them to pieces on this podcast. But, I mean, they weren't terrible games. I just didn't like the way that they were trying to monetize them. Like, the first Battlefront, it wasn't inherently a bad game. It was just kind of lacking in content. And then the season pass was, like, very gouging. And then in Battlefront 2, obviously you have the big 2017 loot box debacle. And I went back to that game, you know, a year or two later I never bought the game, but I eventually bought it a year or two later, and I played it, and it was a great game. And then by that time they already had a bunch of maps out that they gave out for free. So they weren't inherently bad games. I just really wish that EA, we'll talk about this as we talk about more of the games, but I really wish EA would have just prioritized making just like a clear-cut game instead of just like this long live service type thing, you know?
Yeah.
We would have gotten more games rather than just, you know, 3.5.
See, it's...
We probably, you know, if this was under the... If this was during the era of, like, you know, LucasArts before they were acquired by Disney, I think we would have seen double that amount during the 7 years if they would have played their cards right, if EA would have managed their assets better.
Yeah. They just didn't treat, as kind of as you're alluding to, they just didn't treat this franchise with much regard or respect, or more so the fans of the franchise. The metaphor that was coming to my mind, Dave, is Battlefront 1 and 2 are like two lemon cars for two different reasons. Battlefront 1 is missing single player. So it's like you buy a car and there's no seats inside and just, you know, just steering wheel and gas pedals. Technically, it gets you where you're going, but there's nothing there. And then Battlefront 2 was like a car with Battlefront 2 was like
a slot machine right in front of your face.
I was gonna say no windows. So every time you want to roll up the window because it's cold at night and it's windy, or it's raining, or it's hot as heck outside and you want to turn on the AC and keep it inside, they charge you $5 to roll up your windows, so you can just survive.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. Yeah, I think that's fair. And Pat, to your point, and maybe just to further it along, the only reason why we got Jedi Fallen Order, definitely the standout game that EA put out of the four. The only reason why we got Jedi Fallen Order was because of the insane criticisms and backlash against Battlefront. So I wouldn't even like really credit EA. Like, they had to do this as a PR stunt to get people back, you know, two Star Wars games.
It was just to did you say Jedi Fallen Order was...
Yeah, oh. Jedi Fallen Order. I think the only reason why we got Jedi Fallen Order was because people were shouting at the rooftops, like, this is not the game we want, when Battlefront 1 and 2 came out.
I would say the whole time it's just been reactionary. Like, Battlefront 1 to Battlefront 2, they're like, oh, we want Battlefront, but we want our single player and we want a better multiplayer. And so they gave us that for Battlefront 2. And then we're like, but really, we want a single player Star Wars game. Why is it taking so long? Why have we been waiting for... So what? 2 years go by before they make Battlefront 1. Then another 2 years go by. It's 2017. EA has had exclusivity for 4 years at this point. They give us a second Battlefront game. And it's like, okay, this is... You responded to our criticisms of the first game, but just gave us...
Yeah, like, they had barely 1 year to the ground while they were, you know, doing whatever the heck they wanted, you know, to please investors. They want, like, well, and they've, and this will tie, I'll tie this into, like, when we talked about the canceled projects that they did, like, their mentality was very much business approached. It was like, no, we need these live service games. First person story games are dead. We're not going to do that. So they put all this effort into making, like, this live service thing, so that it wasted all their time doing that rather than just making good games. And they could have made, you know, a lot more money, given, like, if they output more games, they would have probably made more money compared to these live service games that they were trying to come out with that ended up backfiring against them anyways. Yeah. So
then we get to 2017, Battlefront 2 comes out. And it's like, okay, well, now we want a single-player Star Wars game. It's been darn near a decade since we've had any.
But that's the thing, though. It's like, even if it's reactionary, they should have been, that should have been in the works, you know, while Battlefront 2 was going on. They should have had more developers, you know, they should have had more studios, like, involved with different projects at once. And there were, and they got canceled. So it's like, they should have just understood that people just want games.
You could have had a Star Wars game every year if you had tried with 20 studios. Come on.
Yeah. I can't even believe I have to say that. Like, they just had to understand that people just wanted games from a game, like, a game publishing company didn't understand that concept.
So yeah, let's talk about the last two of the four EA Star Wars games under their exclusivity. Yeah. Jedi Fallen Order comes out from Respawn Entertainment, which was in fact co-founded by Jason West and Vince Zampella, who had been the co-founders of Infinity Ward and had created the Call of Duty franchise. And then Activision played these guys dirty, played Jason and Vince dirty, and so they left. In April of 2010, a month after leaving Activision, they founded Respawn Entertainment. They joined the EA Partners Program to help get funding, a program that supports small studios but allows developers to keep the rights to their IP, which is mighty important for building a sustainable business. So, as of July 2010, 38 out of 46 Infinity Ward employees had resigned following West and Zampella's creation of Respawn, and 38 of them were working at Respawn. So basically, the studio that created Call of Duty went on to go make Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, a lot of talent.
A lot of talent, but I don't know if it lived up. But hey, maybe that's just the good old EA coat of paint at the end. Because finally, this last year in 2020, we got Star Wars Squadrons from EA's Motive Studios, Motive Entertainment. And after the news of this week, Dave, I really get the feeling now that Star Wars Squadron was, like, super rushed out the door for some reason. Mm. Like, Like, I really can't get over how bad that game looked for what, like...
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. The weird thing, I heard a lot of good things about that game.
The space battles in Star Wars Battlefront 2 look better.
Way better.
And honestly, to me, played a little better. Okay. Than...
I'll take your word for it.
Than an entire game based around.
But the point is, it's like, sure, whatever, Squadrons, like, that's great. I mean, that's great that they have this standalone quick title, but they should have had dozens of those. Why is this just, we're just now seeing this one at the end of their life cycle with their deal with Disney? It's such wasted time. It's so infuriating because it's like all of these suits get to choose what games we get to play.
And then EA is putting totally the wrong people onto the job. So we got Respawn, which basically was the people who made the best first-person shooter of all time should be making a Star Wars first-person shooter. And Motive Entertainment focuses on action-adventure games and new IP. And why are they doing something that's been rehashed? And, you know, you can go back to some of these oldest Star Wars games, and they're these space battle games. That's not a new IP. Give me a thing where you're some Ewok, or give me like a completely new Star Wars species and give them a unique trait and build a game around that. Like,
I would counter the first person shooter thing with Respawn, because I mean, they already have done Titanfall, and then they were on Apex. So I'm assuming they're trying to kind of, you know, diversify their portfolio there. So I kind of understand why they wouldn't do something like, you know, like that. But I definitely think that whoever's in charge of making these decisions were like, all right, this is what we want you to make, this action open world game or something. It's like there should be more of a diversity where it's like, you know, all we have are these sprawling multiplayer games, Battlefront 1 and 2. With dogfights, and then you can lump that in with Squadrons, and then you have just one action adventure, like third person game, which that's the only thing that they think that people want to play. It's like, no, there's dozens of genres, subgenres of Star Wars games that people want to play. We didn't get to see that with EA, which sucks. But I mean, the good news is now, hopefully in the next few years or so, we'll get that.
You know, real-time strategy games aren't very good to play on console because they're so difficult to control with just the controller. But I picked up a physical copy of... God, it was an old... I don't even know what Star Wars game it is. But one of my old favorite series used to be the Command & Conquer series. Like, there's so many... Like real-time strategy, first-person shooter, tactical shooter, RPG, stealth game, roguelike.
Yeah. And you know what, Pat? That actually segues into the canceled games part of this segment. Because there were actually some games that were going to be different than what we got in the last 7 years that were in the works. But we didn't get to see it. They didn't get to see fruition. So there was... From Visceral, so you already mentioned that they had Visceral under their belt as a developer. So they were working originally on a game called Project Yuma, and this that one. I'm pulling this from all this information from a Screen Rant article, and so it was, quote, intended to be an open world pirate game. That's just the quote I pulled from it. But yeah, it was essentially supposed to be this open world pirate game that didn't have anything to do with Star Wars when the IP was acquired by EA, or the licensing, you know, agreement. So that one was kind of transferred into, I guess, a different project called like Project Ragtag. I think the assets from that game were kind of transferred over to that one. Cause I think they just, it was in that weird transitionary phase. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt for that one.
Yuma became Ragtag.
I believe so. I think like parts of that, the ideas of that game, were kind of supposed to survive through Ragtag, which is, so Visceral was put on a project called Project Ragtag after the cancellation of Yuma. And Amy Hennig, aka the creator of Uncharted, was supposed to lead a third-person action-slash-adventure title. This was supposed to be, like, kind of on par with Uncharted, you know, something crazy like that. So it was canceled because, quote, the project was too big, costly, and risky for a publisher like EA, end quote. And then it eventually led to Visceral being dissipated by EA. So not only did the game get canceled because they didn't see a return on their investment, they also could, you know, put the studio kaputs. And that's just a really sad story. But that's another, you know, just evidence that, you know, they didn't believe in single player narrative games.
So, Dave, so get ready for this one. So in 2013, when Disney acquired LucasArts, LucasArts was working on a game called which was hopefully going to be a game that was eventually canceled. Project 1313.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
That was going to be like a stealth game.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So then Project 1313, Disney buys out LucasArts. They get the rights to Disney. They license them to EA. EA rolls it into this game Project Ragtag, right? And then Project Ragtag gets canceled. So what happens? So this was around the same time we got Battlefront 2. People started getting heated. They're like, we want our first person, or we want our single player story Star Wars game. And a source told me, Dave, that assets from Project Ragtag were used and dragged over to make Jedi Fallen Order on the rush, on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
EA's like, which were more than likely some of the same assets and artwork all the way from 1313. So EA's like dragging around some of this work for...
Dragging around this dead corpse of a game, hopefully trying to resuscitate it. Yeah, that might be in tandem with Project Orca. So that was when they dissipated Visceral, and then EA Vancouver took over Ragtag and turned it into a, quote, an open world game that would see players exploring multiple planets, which that does very much that's very reminiscent of the gameplay in Jedi Fallen Order, where you go to different planets during the story. It sounds way more ambitious and promising in the quote here. But that was uncertain to why that project was canceled. And then it eventually, so it says, quote, for a new project. So there was one last one that was supposed to be a Battlefront spinoff. So, quote, although there aren't many details on Viking, which was the project's name, it reportedly started from the cancellation of Project Orca to salvage some of the assets that were already created. So that seems to be like what happened. There was just like husks of these projects and they were all like trying to pass them on to one another, and then they were probably turned into this weird amalgamation that eventually probably led into Fallen Order. But yeah, that's four games that could have happened essentially in that's four more games that could have happened essentially in that span of time.
Maybe it's just the Nordic imagery, but Project Viking sounds awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of being like a space pirate too, that sounds really fun. I mean, there's a lot of cool ideas in here that's what sucks. They just got cut at the chopping block because someone in a suit said, oh, this is not going to make us a lot of money. So unfortunately, that's the kind of the root of our criticisms for EA with the Star Wars IP.
Yeah, I think the story at the end of the day is that they were trying to game the players. Gamers can't be gamed, man. Trying to take out from our pocketbooks, but and then they just end up dragging around work, half done work for half a decade
and so, probably wasting a lot of money doing that. So so let's tie it into what's relevant, what's going on now and what's happening in the future. So Pat, there was an announcement
this past week. Lucasfilm on Monday, January 11th, announced that it has reestablished the Lucasfilm Games brand and all future games will come from Lucasfilm, i.e. all Star Wars games are going to have the Lucasfilm's games stamp of approval.
Logo's back.
But, listeners, the news just kept getting juicier. On Tuesday, the company, alongside Bethesda, announced an Indiana Jones game is in the works. A new Indiana Jones game with an original story is in development from Bethesda's studio, Machine Games, makers of the most recent run of the Wolfenstein series. Dave, I know you are a fan of those.
Yep, good games.
And this Indiana Jones game is going to be executive produced by Todd Howard. On paper, the last game Todd Howard worked on was Skyrim. So, big game, popular game. But, you know, that was 10 years ago this year. Exactly. Skyrim was 2011. So, he's probably been splitting his time between Elder Scrolls Styx, Starfield, and at this point now, this new Indiana Jones game. How are you feeling about this one?
Really excited. Really excited. Really excited. Yeah. Because Machine Games, they do the first-person shooters. So I'm really interested to see how this is going to work with an Indiana Jones game. I wouldn't be against, you know, cracking my whip in first person.
I really want to know. I'm really interested in what genre this game's going to be. I don't want it to be an Uncharted or Tomb Raider clone. I hope it's something different.
But yeah, I think the main thing to talk about here, Pat, so obviously we covered on the show, Xbox acquired Bethesda and all their studios. So is this game going to be an Xbox exclusive? What do you think?
I guess it's possible. I was going to say I don't think Disney would let that happen, but Disney owns Marvel and they let Spider-Man be a PlayStation exclusive.
Mm-hmm. And let Spider-Man be exclusive on Sony and Marvel's Avengers.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I don't know. All this licensing stuff is just so complicated, dude.
There is a longstanding history with Spider-Man and Sony, so I kind of get that relationship.
Sony owns part of the film rights.
Yeah, so there's that longstanding like exclusivity with Spider-Man. So I understand that, but with
maybe it's not a perfect one-to-one.
Yeah, I don't know a good comparison that's one-to-one, but I could see it being exclusive. But it's such a big IP that. I think they wouldn't do it. I think I can agree with you on that.
I could see it be exclusive. I don't know.
We only got like half a teaser, right? So I'm assuming this game is like, and it's very, very early development. So I would say we're probably not going to see this for another couple of years, few years. So this will most likely be like halfway within, you know, the console's life cycles, and we'll see where we're at in terms of IPs. I would think it would be an exclusive if Microsoft's IPs don't work out for them, you know, like Halo Infinite is a complete flop or something. Like, I could see them getting desperate, but I think that they have enough lined up where I don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah, putting some thought into it, Indiana Jones is like popular and well known, but I don't think he's like that popular. And like your game would have to just be exceptionally good and fun anyways for the name Indiana Jones to make a difference. And at that point, if the game's that good, it doesn't need the Indiana Jones game. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need the Indiana Jones name attached. So I think we'll probably end up seeing this on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, either way, like, if it's an Xbox exclusive, certainly doesn't sell me on the console, unless even if it's something crazy good.
Yeah, I think the main takeaway that I took from this was that this is like a full confirmation with the news of, you know, the exclusivity with EA and Star Wars being kind of broken, and then Lucasfilm putting their logo on like games again, and now we see this with Indiana Jones. So Disney owns Lucasfilms and all that stuff. I think Disney's really paying attention to what they're doing with their IPs in the video game sphere. I'm hoping we see a lot more with that. And then this is just a really interesting collaboration with Bethesda and Lucasfilms. I'm wondering how this bodes for Xbox and PlayStation. Yeah, I think we'll see a lot of Lucasfilm stuff on both platforms. I think that's what I'm taking away from this.
I sure hope so. So Monday, we got Lucasfilm Games back as a studio. Tuesday, we got the Indiana Jones game announced. But that wasn't enough for Lucasfilms. On Wednesday, to cap it all off, in conjunction with Ubisoft, Lucasfilms Games announced that the two companies were entering a partnership to develop an open-world Star Wars game. The game will specifically be developed by Ubisoft's Massive Entertainment and Julian Garrity, director of The Division 2 and The Crew, will serve as the game's creative director. Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot, who we've discussed before, Dave, as a we have our opinions, opinions about the French-Canadian, says, quote, "An original Star Wars adventure that is different from anything that has been done before," end quote. "I expect nothing less. Isn't everything anybody always does ever super different from anything anyone's done?" That's what they say every time.
This Call of Duty will be the most explosive one yet.
It gets more explosive every time.
Yeah, if I had a dollar for every time. Anyways,
this game will begin a long-term relationship between Disney and Ubisoft. The game will be a story-driven open-world game, and everything we've talked about is absolutely everything we know about the game at this point.
Yeah, that could really mean anything. I'm just hoping it's something that's very unique in terms of story setting. If they're already married to the third person, you know, open world type stuff.
Last but not least, to finish out all of this big, momentous, shifting news, Lucasfilm Games VP Douglas Riley went on to explain in a post that more EA Star Wars games are in the works. So don't worry yet. There's some of them are still coming, but overall, this is a very good week, Dave. What do you say?
Oh, yeah. You know, 2023 is when their exclusivity deal ends with EA. So this is a good time to announce IPs that are in the work with other studios, because it gets the marketing going early. And then by 2023 rolls around, everyone will know about it. And then we get to really celebrate.
So is that confirmed on paper? Because that wasn't clear to me.
Yeah, that's what I couldn't figure out, because everyone's like saying, oh, it's over as of today. It's like, I don't think that's what's going on. But I think that from what I'm getting from it, it's kind of like they're turning their wheels and like they're preparing to, like, you know, transition.
Okay, so that was my impression as well, that most outlets right now are reporting that EA's exclusivity deal is over, but we don't know that for certain. Being that we knew zero details of Disney and EA's licensing agreement to begin with, I don't think we have a specific date on this, but I'm willing to bet that Ubisoft's game may still be coming out around, I'm willing to wager that Ubisoft's game still won't be out till 2023 if EA's original deal is a fairly standard business deal of 10 years exclusivity.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
Lastly, in ancillary news, not necessarily on our usual radar, RPG classic Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2 came out on mobile platforms on December 18th. So I think Disney and Lucasfilms are really testing the waters for the return of this sub-series and just trying to break into gaming way more in general.
Yeah, I hope I hope KOTOR comes back in some capacity on like a large scale.
I think it'll get a lot of downloads on mobile, and I think we'll see it come back on the consoles one day, Dave. So, Dave, last but not least, is there any other Lucasfilm IP that you would want to see?
I can't think of any, but I know you wrote some down. American Graffiti.
Yeah. 1950s GTA.
THX.
Rockin'
George Lucas's first sci-fi film about abstinence.
How about a Labyrinth film? CGI David Bowie. How do you feel about that? Some David Bowie.
I don't think I've seen any of these movies. Run
through the maze. Or Red Tails. How about a cinematic World War II airplane game?
Let's do it.
That one's actually, like, I think all three of those ideas, if you fleshed them out, would be pretty legit. But let's...
They always got to be in tandem with the movie, you know, with the movie releases, though. You know, that's how it goes.
Of course. Hey, maybe a sick Avatar game. We'll see. Dave, that's going to close it out for cross-examination this week.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, that was a big meaty segment. We had to cover it, though. Big Star Wars news. But speaking of Star Wars and, you know, the actors that are in Star Wars, let's talk about Harrison Ford for a little bit, guys. So let's move into our Fast Fire news segment.
Harrison Ford segment, but
we dedicate a lot of our episode to Harrison Ford. So this is the weekly time that we do it right now at Fast Fire News. So for any of our listeners, old and new, Fast Fire News is a weekly news segment where we deliver the headlines to you faster than Harrison Ford landing his personal plane on a taxiway instead of a designated runway, just missing a 737 that was holding 110 passengers and potentially ending their lives in 2017. Did you hear about that, Pat? 2017?
No, I hadn't heard about that, but I'm picturing it now.
So yeah, Harrison Ford, the notorious, you know, buccaneer that he is.
Flight stuntman.
Yeah. In 2017, apparently, he was supposed to land a plane on a runway, but he instead went on a taxiway and broke FAA regulations and almost killed people and himself. So, but it's Harrison Ford. What are you going to do? Tell him no.
So imagine you're sitting in a plane seat. Your plane's not even on the runway yet. And then another plane flies like 50 feet over your plane. Like you can just hear, vroom, you can just hear it right there. And then you're like kind of mad and you're like, we're scared, but you're like, oh, you come to find out. You're like, oh, that was Ace Maverick pilot Han Solo.
That's how I want to go, dude. I just want to be killed by like a plane crash that Harrison Ford's piloting. It'd be an honor. Anyways, let's get to the news, guys.
Well, hey, if you do die in that way, then I'll let you know in the afterlife.
We'll let you know.
That, hey, you got what you wanted.
All right. Let's get to the news. All right, so Xbox, on the Xbox side of things, there are a couple of things here. There's always oddball stories with Xbox, which is, I'm just finding it very entertaining to dig through the little headlines. But first up, we have Bungie's original Halo website is being taken down on February 9th. And Pat, if you don't know, this was a big thing back in the Halo 3 days, going on Bungie.net and checking your file share. And you were able...
No, I don't know anything about this.
Okay, so when Halo 3 was out, Bungie had their own website where you could go on and like share your screenshots in-game, like share a bunch of files. That was kind of like the main mode that people were like finding out about different game types to download and like funny screenshots and like what have you. So this was just like a good archival place that I forgot about until they announced that they were going to shut down the original website. And I looked up my old file share, and there's just a lot of, like, cringy stuff. Like, I think I was, like, trying to go pro or something back then. And I was like, you know, put this in your profile if you're, like, a free agent or something. Like, I was looking at my profile, and it was just very cringeworthy. But I might have to download all of my stuff just for history, you know, before it gets shut down.
Sure.
But one of my photos had, like, 600 downloads. So there was some people who appreciated my content, but even back then,
that was back in the era when 1,000 downloads was equal to 1 million today.
Yep. Yeah, you know, adjust for inflation. Yep. So Let's move on to our next Xbox story. Joseph Fares roasts the Series X and S naming. So this is just for any of our youngins out there, this is a very expletive-filled article right here.
Story?
Yeah. So this is the guy who came out, I think this was during the Game Awards, and he's like, yo, F the Oscars. And he was like kind of defending EA when the Battlefront stuff came out. Anyways, it was just super funny. Like, the dude was very bombastic with what he was saying. And he's the game director of A Way Out. I'm sure you've played that game, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about it here.
Oh, it was a good time.
This dude's just super talented, and he's just a really funny guy. So I just want to read what he said about the Series X and S, because he's making a game called It Takes Two. It's a platformer or something that's coming out. I'm really excited.
It takes two to make a thing all right.
It takes two to make a thing.
You better have that song.
So anyways, he went on a rant about the naming of the Series X, and he's like, quote, but to be honest with you, they came in so late in our production. Of course, it's going to look better on PS5 and Xbox Series X, but we didn't really have time to adjust them and make the PS5 version special, or the Xbox blah, 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 whatever they call the Xbox Series X. And then the F-bomb started dropping as a Kotaku article reports. So just prepared. He's like, that's a f***ing confusing name. What the f*** is going on with Microsoft? They're losing it, man. What the f*** is going on? Like, Series X, Series S, X, Mex, Next? I mean, who knows this? Come on. Madness. Call it the Microsoft box and that's it. I don't know. It's a total f***ing mess. Trust me. Even them, they're confused in their offices. What is this XS? I don't know. What the f***? And end quote.
Yeah, like, why would you make the same?
I hope I impersonated him correctly. But yeah, I think he's like Lebanese or something.
Yeah, you're going to beep all those F-bombs, right?
No. Yeah, I'll bleep them out.
Cool.
Right. So yeah, that was just the funny Xbox story of the week, and I'll hand it
off. I mean, he's not wrong. It's impossible. We stumble over it all the time.
Yeah, he the way you put it was just perfect.
We should just call it the Series Sex. What generation is this? The Series Sex.
Yeah, I mean, call it what it is, man.
Series S or X.
Series. We'll just call it the series.
The series generation.
There's no easy way. There's no easy way.
Should we move it on?
Pat,
next story?
Let's move it on.
Here we go. Beloved multiplayer survival game Rust has been rated by the ESRB for release on Xbox One and PS4. 2 years after release on PC, the game, beloved by players and quite popular in the streaming community, is headed to console. Rust is a more realistic sort of looking survival version of Minecraft with exhilarating PvP battle royale-esque adrenaline inducing gameplay moments. And originally it was supposed to be out on console in 2019. Looks like it'll be coming out this year, however. I don't know, just in general, some PC games, it seems, multiplayer in particular, seem to take a really long time to port over to consoles. One other that comes to mind is PUBG.
Yeah, that's a good example. I don't know if it's the controls or something. I'm not a game developer, I'm not gonna pretend to know, but I know the controls were a big thing because it's hard to like loot and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's easier to loot with point and clicking and all that stuff when things are particularly tapered toward PC.
I think that seems to be the big problem, or one of the big hurdles, but
I'm sure there's other stuff that's probably way bigger than just the controls of the game or whatever, but
sure. Anyways, check it out. Keep an eye out. Rust, fun looking game. Maybe we can dive in crossplay one day, Dave. That'd be pretty fun. I think it'd be a fun game to be playing with friends. Next story, Hogwarts Legacy has been delayed until 2022. That's all you need to know.
You called it, right?
Pretty sure I called this one. Yep. On our most anticipated games list. I didn't even put it on my 2021 games list. I just said, hey, throw it for next year. I don't believe it. Also, Extreme Sports Game Riders Republic got delayed until, quote, later this year with no specific date. And moving on, Sal Romero at Gamatsu reported this last week that Square Enix filed 3 new Final Fantasy-related trademarks in Japan. All 3 trademarks specifically relate to Final Fantasy VII. So the 3 trademarks were for the name Ever Crisis, the First Soldier, and Shinra Electric Power Company logo. All 3 of these are references to various things in Final Fantasy VII. So remember, Final Fantasy VII Remake is meant to be a trilogy. So Ever Crisis and the First Soldier may indeed be the subtitles to the next 2 games in the Final Fantasy Remake trilogy. We'll find out.
We'll find out. All right, we'll keep you updated on all of those things. So it closes out Fastfire News, guys. But let's move on. Most importantly, just moving on. Rotating segment. Let's move into our rotating segment, Pat. So this is a segment where a couple of goofballs like this will go off on a short tangent about something random, because this week's rotating segment is Dave and Pat's random riffs. We're going to talk super fast. And we're going to talk about whatever you want, Pat. But this week, I'm going to be talking about this Xbox Lite that I can't get online. This is an Xbox Lite that looks like the logo of Xbox with the Xbox logo. And it's supposed to like change colors when you play music and stuff. And it's really cool to have in the background. And I want to use it for streaming when I get streaming up. But I can't get it because it's been sold out. And every time they restock, it sells out immediately. And I even have a $40 gift card that I'm sitting on that I want to buy for different games, but I can't because I really want this light. And I don't know when I'm going to be able to get it, which is, I just really hate when, you know, you get Christmas money and you want to spend your Christmas money, but everyone else wants to spend their Christmas money and things end up out of stock for like months and you just really are feeling impatient. And that's my problem and I don't know how to solve it.
Speaking of things that are out of stock, I was inside the store today and they just keep having these stupid, really dumb boxes that are like filled with complete junk and they are like mystery boxes. So you like can't see inside. There's no window inside to the box and they're filled with total junk. Like things like they had this one for PlayStation today, but I've seen other ones for things like Dragon Ball or Pokemon or other IPs, like fun things that people like My Hero Academia. That one's really popular with the young kids. But this one today had a PlayStation one and it had stickers and it had this like wall hanger thing that was probably just a cheap piece of plastic with the PlayStation logo inside of it. And there was like some pins in it too, but like not even a t-shirt. And they were charged like $20 or $30 for it. And it was like, why would you charge $20 or $30 for it when there's nothing good inside?
I hate that too. That's been Dave and Pat's random riff of the week.
That was pretty good. What do you think about that one, Dave?
I really like it. Definitely agree, man. I just think stores having stuff in stock, that is my biggest pet peeve when things are out of stock and I just really trying to get it. For any of you listeners out there wondering what I'm doing, causing this annoying noise. I'm actually opening up an action figure that was in stock that I actually did get from Target. And guess what? It has a code inside. And we're going to do a code reading here.
So I was inside GameStop today also, yep, just to keep going on this random riff a little bit. And I was in GameStop and they have all these different Funko Pops for all the different Halo figurines. There's like one that's a green one and blue one and the yellow. And then they have one that's Master Chief that's all green. And then they have another one that's yellow and blue. And then they have one that's like a clear. And then they have one that's gray. And then they have one that's a GameStop exclusive that's also a gray that's like this other more advanced Mark 5 or 7 or 8 Halo armor. And it's really cool that they have all these different Funkos, but my biggest issue with the whole thing is that one of them comes with a code that you can get a code for some of the markers or emblems, or we're giving away one of these codes, but they have all these different types of the Funkos, but only one of them comes with a code. But only one of them has a code.
All right, well, speaking of codes, I'm just going to read off this code really fast.
941F RMYQ2FLFTUAF.
That's 941F. RMYQ 2FLF TUAF. All right.
Someone's really going to enjoy an emblem or an armor, and then they're going to have a really good time in Halo, and they should also play with you at SDDAWG. That's SWDAWG on GameStop or YouTube.
Yep. This is a Wicked Cool Toys emblem. You're going to win it.
Okay.
You're going to win it. You're going to be in it to win it.
And I'm going to be done in 3, 2, 1, 0.
All right. So that's 9-4-1.
That was actually a fun segment.
That was pretty fun. For anyone who didn't catch that, 9-4-1-F. RMYQ.
No, you cannot do that. You gave it to him fast. Let him figure it out.
I know. 2FLF, TUAF.
I'm cutting you off. We're closing out the show. We're closing out the show.
Thanks for listening, guys.
That's it. We've been your hosts,
David, SDDAWG.
And PlayStation Pat Fennel. Green versus Blue can be found on Spotify, Apple Music, or your favorite podcast service, including Ghana in India. You can directly support us by heading to patreon.com/greenversusblue. That is patreon.com/greenvsblue. Again, Dave, where can we find you individually on the internet?
Yeah, go find me on YouTube at SDDAWG and on my gamertag at SDDAWG, spelled SDDAWG.
Cool. You can find me on YouTube and Twitch at Variety Pat. That's VariotyPat. Or on Instagram at PlayStation Pat. And remember, if you have a burning question or comment about today's show, or if you have anything else to say about this podcast, or if you want to join the sweepstakes and enter for a chance to win your very own copy of the Halo Master Chief Collection, please hit up our email at psboxcast@gmail.com. That's psboxcast@gmail.com. So once again, if you want to enter for your chance to win that Halo Master Chief Collection, hit our email and in the subject header, write MCC giveaway. And once again, hit our email at psboxcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week, or you'll catch us next week.
Peace.
Till then, bye-bye.